It isn't Ish Kabibble, Kitty.
The makers of Bluebonnet Margarine and Tenderleaf Tea present the Fred Allen Show, with Fred's guest, Miss Beatrice Lilly, Portland Hopper, Minerva Pius as Mrs. Nussbaum, Alan Reed as Falstaff Openshaw, the Tenderleaf Workshop Players, the DeMarco Sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And in a few minutes, I will be Senator Claghorn. But right now, my name is Kenny Delmar. Last week, ladies and gentlemen, a leading magazine selected America's 10 best-dressed men. Tonight, we bring you a man who was 11th in the first 10. His wardrobe is baggy right up to his eyes. And here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Kenny, today with the clothing shortage, you know, a man doesn't worry about being well-dressed. He just worried about being dressed.
Yes, Fred.
Now, wait a minute. Wait, something might have developed. Don't start off that way with 30 minutes to go. Treading on the possible laughs, you know. Treading on the lulls.
I was being a pessimist about the whole thing.
A pessimist? A new thing you've invented.
It's quite a problem, the...
The clothing, yes. Well, men's clothes... tying us back into the subject so cleverly. Men's clothes are so scarce, Kenny. In this month's Esquire, the Varga girls have more on than the men. I'd like to be Mahatma Gandhi until this clothing shortage blows over, Kenny. Uh-huh. You know, after dinner, Gandhi lowers his napkin a little, and he's dressed for the street.
you say that there are no...
Thank you, Mother.
That's my line.
It's really Mrs. Burle. I'm giving her a job till Milton gets going.
Well, Fred, to get back to the suits, you say
yes,
there are no suits in the city, Fred?
No suit. Kenny, this morning I saw a little moth flying back and forth in front of a Crawford clothing store. The moth was singing Memory. And if you don't think that a moth can...
Alan!
Well, Portland, here you are. Is that little package you have there a present for me?
No, it's some iodine for Mama.
Iodine?
Mama was walking by a pawn shop. The sign fell down and hit her.
A pawn shop sign hit your mother?
Mama has 3 big lumps on her head.
We get a nice class of people. They don't know what pawn shops are. On the Benny program, that would have been sensational. But tell me, with all of those... All of those lumps, how does your mother know which lump is her head?
Oh, Mama holds up a piece of meat.
Uh-huh.
The lump that snaps at it is her head.
The lump? Oh, there's always more trouble at your house.
Yes, last night, Mama's big rubber plant grew up the wall and erased 2 etchings.
Erased 2 etchings? Well, what else is new?
They sent another message to the moon this week.
Oh, I read that. What happened?
An answer came back for the Treasury Department.
Well, what did the moon say to the Treasury Department?
I'm down to my last quarter, too.
Some old radio writers up there on the moon. They'll catch him yet. Well, I haven't heard from the moon, but this week I did get a message from the sun.
Oh, what did the sun say?
If I don't pay last month's subscription, they're going to stop sending the paper.
Did you read that Bing Crosby's going back on his radio program?
Yes, his sponsor must be very happy.
Oh, he is. His sponsor said, if I have to have a singer...
Yeah?
It might as well be Bing.
Might as well be Bing. And speaking of Bing and his program, reminds me, we'd better cheese it along down to Allen's Alley.
Have you a question?
Ah, you bet, it says here. Last week, public health authorities warned the nation that this month is the month to beware of catching cold. And so our question tonight is, are you taking precautions? And if you are, what is your favorite remedy for curing a cold?
Shall we go?
As the centipede said when he got the chill, I think I'll shake a leg. Well, Portland, as usual, all is serene down here in Allen's Alley. The senator's home. There's a letter in his mailbox from Mr. Effie Boone of Lexington, Kentucky. I'll knock and see what happens.
Somebody, I say, somebody knock.
Yes, I know.
Claghorn's the name. Senator Claghorn, that is.
I know you're from the South.
When I'm in New York, I'll never go to the Yankee Stadium.
Now, wait a minute.
I won't even even go to see the Giants unless a southpaw pitches.
Well, look,
I refuse to watch the Dodgers unless Dixie Walker's playing.
Now, wait a minute.
Stop interrupting. Where's your manners?
Manners? I have more.
Try listening. You might learn something.
Listen, all I'll ever learn.
Your tongue's wagging like a blind dog's tail in a meat market.
You're winded, hey?
Just sucking in some air, son.
Well, leave a little. I'm breathing, too, you know. Tell me, Senator, what is Washington doing about coal prevention?
The Senate reconvened just in time.
Yeah?
Hold on now.
I'm tripping, Senator.
I was glad to see Senator Aiken back. Aiken back. That's a joke, son.
I know it's a joke.
That was a scrawny side splitter.
Well, I wouldn't
say it. That was a Green Port Shrieker.
Listen, you don't know what it is.
I keep tossing them and you just sidestep them.
Well, look. Now, wait.
Say, you're a regular sad sack. Sack, that is.
Now, you wait. Tell me, cool off. Now, just a second. Do you have a favorite cure for a cold?
I caught a cold last week.
Yeah?
Like to ruin my filibuster.
Ruin your filibuster? What did you do?
I took an old southern remedy, son. I drank down 2 buckets of hot mint juleps.
Gosh.
I kept right on filibustering.
You drank 2 buckets of hot mint juleps and you still held the floor?
Held the floor? Son, I couldn't get up off it.
Well, the senator looks like a New England dinner tonight. He sure is boiled. Well, I wonder how Titus Moody is doing this evening.
Howdy, Bob.
Say, Mr. Moody, you look a little tired.
I know. I was up all night. Couldn't get a wink.
You didn't sleep a wink?
No, it wasn't that. Somebody stole my tiddly.
Mr. Moody, have you done anything to fend off colds?
No, colds don't bother none. It's the rheumatism.
Oh, rheumatism, eh?
Yeah, the rheumatism took my grandpa. He died all bent over.
Died all bent over, huh?
Yeah, they started to roll Gramp to the cemetery like a hoop.
Yeah?
Coasting down the hill, he got away from the pallbearers.
What did they finally do?
They buried Gramp in a drum.
A bass drum?
No, snare drum. He was a little man.
Oh, well. Well, Mr. Moody, tell me, has this cold epidemic hit your farm?
Why, my bull caught an awful cold out in the pasture.
Got in a draft?
Yeah, somebody left the gate open.
Oh, that'll do it. Well, did you treat the bull?
Yeah. First, I wrapped him in blankets to get him sweating.
Yeah?
Then I rubbed him all over with turpentine.
Would this cure your bull?
I don't know. I ain't caught him yet.
Have you been a victim yourself?
No, but my wife had a nasty cold.
Did you call the doctor?
Yeah. Gall darn quack. Give her sulfur and molasses. Put in too much sulfur.
Well, how can you tell he gave her too much sulfur?
When my wife sits in the dark, she glows.
Well, are you doing anything about it?
Why, Senator Claghorn, a foreigner next door... He sent me over a bucket of hot mint julep.
For your wife?
No, for me. Tonight I'm getting lit up to keep her company. Come on, Bob.
Looks as though Titus is going to get lit up on his weekend. Well, let's see what a knock here will start.
No.
Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum.
You were expecting maybe two la-lula-lula banquet. No.
Tell me, Mrs. N., have you had any colds in your house?
My husband, Pierre, is sick.
Oh, really?
They are maybe sending him to a clinic. The Meyer brothers.
Oh, the Meyer brothers. Well, didn't Pierre try any cold remedies?
Every day it's a new remedy. First, he is bringing home fruit to drinking fruit juices.
What kind?
Oranges, grapefruits, tambourines.
All of the citrus fruits.
If you could squeeze it, Pierre's got it.
Well, how long did he drink the fruit juices?
One day.
Mm-hmm.
Then Pierre is opening up the window and throwing out the fruit.
Oh, he had another remedy?
Vitamins from vegetables.
Oh, good.
He's bringing home carrots, sprinkler beans, and rutabagels.
How long long did he try vitamins?
One day.
One day again.
Pierre is opening up the window and throwing out the vegetables.
He had yet another remedy?
Sunshine.
Oh.
He is bringing home a sun lamp, a tube unguentine, also smoked glasses.
Well, how long did he try sunshine?
One day.
One day again.
Pierre is opening out the window and throwing out the sun lamp, the tube unguentine, also the smoked glasses.
He had another cure?
Absolute rest.
Oh.
He's staying in bed.
Uh-huh.
I am bringing meals. I'm bringing pills. I'm bringing hot water bottles.
Well, how long did this last?
One day.
And then?
I am opening up the window and throwing out Pierre.
Well, here we are at the last Jack in Allen's Alley. Let's see what happens here.
Roses are red, jonquils are yellow, Falstaff is here, and the stuff is mellow.
Falstaff, you have been sweating out new cantos?
Oh, indubitably. Have you heard, said Mr. Fairless to Mr. Murray, I'll open my steel mills, what's your hurry?
No.
Or, this week in Brazil, Mayor LaGuardia's a hero. He's no longer the hat. He is now the sombrero.
No.
How about, stop breathing on the percolator, mother? You're too old to be blowing your top?
Now, wait. Tonight, we're simply discussing the common cold and its prevention.
Precisely why I am here.
Yes?
I have rolled a rondo.
What is your cold poem called?
Attention, you men of science.
How does it go?
Attention, you men of science. Stop advancing civilization and turn your efforts to solving an enigma that baffles the nation. Oh, I know you've harnessed the atom. Jet propulsion you mastered last June. Radar you've reduced to a plaything. And now you're in touch with the moon. But one small microbe defies you. And science is 10,000 years old. You haven't subdued coryza, the germ of the common cold. So attention, you men of science. Until this germ you confront right, half of this country will be sneezing and the other half saying Gesundheit.
Now that Falstaff has received this cold reception, we turn to some hot music. Our five DeMarco sisters, abetted by Maestro Al Goodman and a sizzling symphony, sing, Did You Ever Get That Feeling in the Moonlight?
Did you ever get that longing on a June night? That wonderful longing you can never resist. Did you ever get that feeling in the moonlight? That feeling that says you want to be kissed. Did you ever get that feeling in the moonlight? That feeling that you want to be kissed. You're strolling in the park.
Stand by for a worthwhile suggestion.
A suggestion about something good to eat makes us all take notice, so here's one for the book. Made popovers lately? Why not surprise your folks with some soon? Big puffy ones, crispy, golden brown, piping hot, with lots of bluebonnet melting into them. Yes, bluebonnet, the margarine that gives you flavor, nutrition, economy, all three. Bluebonnet has a delicious flavor, fresh, delicate, country sweet, and it keeps its delicate, delightful flavor even when half melted on piping hot foods. Bluebonnet margarine is packed with nutrition, too. Rich in food energy, rich in vitamin A. As for economy, Bluebonnet saves you real money. It costs so little, you can spread it on twice as thick. And boy, you want to. And don't forget, Bluebonnet margarine is a product of the makers of Fleischmann's yeast. That fact alone tells you it must be good. Ask your grocer for Bluebonnet tomorrow. Remember the letters FNE for flavor, nutrition, economy. Bluebonnet margarine gives all three. Flavor, nutrition, economy.
doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, a midget version, played by Al Goodman and his Grand Course Grenadiers. Grand Concourse Grenadiers. Yes, yes, Portland?
Who is your guest tonight?
Well, I haven't any guest.
Oh, I thought you had Evelyn and her magic violin.
Well, I thought I did, too, but Evelyn broke a string on the magic violin, and Spitalny couldn't get his hands on a cat in time, so the whole thing fell through.
Well, I read in Earl Wilson's column that Beatrice Lilly just arrived in New York from London.
Say, B. Lilly, she's the famous musical comedy star.
You mean the British cast daily?
Now, Portland, please, do not jeopardize our friendly relations with England. B. Lilly, you know, she would make a swell guest for tonight. I think I'll run over to Miss Lilly's hotel. Is Miss Lilly in?
I'm Beatrice Lilly.
Miss Lilly?
Oh, you may call me Bee.
Bee?
As in a hive. That's a joke, son.
I know.
Oh, that was a Liverpool Lulu.
Now, please, Miss Lilly, my name is Fred Allen.
Now, that's what I like about you American men. You're so impulsive. We've barely met and you've told me your name.
Well, in England, you do things differently.
When a gentleman meets a lady in England, the lady extends her hand, the gentleman kisses it.
If you will extend your hand...
With the meat shortage? Not like...
Well, Miss Lilly, I'll come right to the point. I am in radio.
Radio? Oh, you mean the wireless.
Oh, that's right. In England, you do call radio the wireless.
Yes, yesterday I asked the man to direct me to Wireless City.
You meant... You meant Radio City.
Well, this gentleman told me that at the moment all of New York was wireless. So he handed me a sign and we had a ripping time marching up and down all day.
Well, Miss Lilly, you may not know it, but you were picketing Western Union. Tell me, what is radio like in London? I hear it's a bit of the old drab.
The old drab? On the contrary, British radio is a frolic from sunup to bedtime.
A frolic? Well, what programs go to make up a day on the BBC?
Well, we're up at the crack of dawn to hear Dr. Mickleman's concert hour.
Dr. Mickleman has a big orchestra?
Just a flute.
You sit through a whole hour of flouting?
Well, 2 hours until 8 o'clock.
What happens at 8 o'clock?
Well, from 8 to 12, there's an educational talk by Professor Swaffen. He's a royal taxidermist.
After 2 hours of fluting, you sit through 4 hours of talking?
Oh, it's very exciting. Professor Swaffen is running a series on how to stuff a field mouse.
Oh.
As Professor Swaffen lectures, we all sit by our radios, stuffing our field mice.
What the... What happens when you stop stuffing your field mice?
Dr. Mickleman comes back with his flute. And he plays till sundown.
Well, that takes care of British daytime radio. Now, what happens at night?
Oh, it's generally quite gay.
Really?
Little boys playing drum solos. Chess games are broadcast. Then late at night, Professor Swaffen returns for another lecture.
And everybody starts stuffing their field mice again?
Professor Swaben's night lecture is called How to Stuff an Owl.
Oh, for now. This fills in the rest of the evening.
Yes. BBC goes off the air with Dr. Mickleman and his flute playing When You Come to the End of a Perfect Day.
Well, radio in America is quite different, Miss Lilly.
Oh, you don't stuff field mice?
Oh, no, no. Radio listeners here stuff their ears. Now, why don't you come on my program tonight and I can show you how we work it here.
Oh, sorry, Fred. I'm much too busy. I'm here looking for material for a new review I'm doing in London next month.
B, if you would be interested in a smash musical show for London, your search is over.
Oh, you have a show?
A show? Why, in London, it'll be bigger than Alfred Hitchcock any way you look at him.
Well, what's it called?
Piccadilly.
Piccadilly? What does it say about?
Well, as the curtain rises, you hear a fanfare. The scene is Piccadilly Circus. It's C. Aubrey Smith's birthday, and all London is in a festive mood. As the show starts, the merry Londoners break into song.
Piccadilly in the land of shilling, pence and pounds.
Where a cop, a bobby, something smock, is nobby, and the subway's called the Underground.
a dilly. It's the art of London and its soul.
Britannia rules each wave. Every man is brave. And the only coward, there is no owl.
It's the Isle of the Fat and Sweet Soup. The land that gave Winston the boot. And when we
music,
now,
please.
Stop this singing, really.
Bee, is something wrong?
Sir, this music's from Oklahoma.
Now, look, Bee.
Well, look, you can't steal the whole score from Oscar Hammerstein and Dick Rogers.
Bee, Oscar Hammerstein and Richard Rogers have 5 hit shows all going now. All day long, they do nothing but count money. They never look up. How will they know that one of their little shows is missing?
Can't star in a black market play.
Well, look, the rest of the show is entirely different, Bee. Now, listen to this next scene.
But what is it?
But you are Daisy. You're a treacle girl in a pudding shop.
A treacle girl?
If a customer comes in, an old pudding fiend, and orders pudding, and wants a little treacle on it...
I rush over with my treacle cruet and pour.
Yes. You're a young, innocent girl.
I see. I'm good, but I'm sticky.
Right. Now, as this next scene opens, you are waiting for your bus. It's a typical London spring morning. As a tribute to a spring day in London, you sing...
There are days that I feel I should chuck it when the rain's coming down by the bucket. It's a nice day for ships. The sky drifts and drifts. I'm here in a puddle, clear up to my hips. Oh, what an infamous morning. Oh, what a typical day. The streets full of flotsam and jetsam, and everything's coming my way.
Hell, what a drizzly morning. Hell, what a ghastly day. I have a miserable feeling that this is the way.
Well, that was wonderful, Bee.
What's next, Fred?
Well, now comes the love scene. I am your sweetheart, Herbert. We have a clandestine rendezvous at Kensington Gardens. We're sitting on a park bench, and you speak.
Herbert, ain't this heavenly?
Darcy, I've got a question to pop.
Oh, Herbert.
But Darcy.
You touched my hand.
But I had me mitten on.
For our recitations, Herbert, people will talk.
But Darcy...
Remember the rules of English courtship, Herbert? Certain don'ts we must observe.
Certain don'ts?
Don't own my kipper for me. Don't slap my bicycle clip. Don't put salt on my fish and chips. A people will say we're enamored.
Don't tug my teabag string. Don't filch my crumpet crumbs. Don't sniff my chrysanthemums. The neighbors will say we're infatuated. I think that's good.
Don't jostle my snooker cue. Herbert, please don't get gay.
Darcy, I won't even look at you. The hoi-polloi will sigh with that one. If I rehearse a little more, this play will be a sensation in London, Bee. Now, the next scene is the big climax.
Well, tell me, what happened?
Well, your father refuses to let us marry. As the scene opens, you are pleading. You say...
Have an ask, Peter. Herbert wants to take me to America.
America? My little Daisy live among those savages. The Chippewas, the Algonquins, the Brooklyn Dodgers.
But I have a job waiting for me, sir. Work in Canada.
Herbert's renting a North. He's going with the Northwest Mounties.
Canada, Daisy, it's too blasted cold. The temperature goes down to 10 beneath the cipher.
Freezing. Freezing weather won't bother me none, sir.
You say you don't mind the cold? Why don't you?
I shall tell you why I don't, sir. For the cold I don't give a noot. 'cause I'm wearing my new union suit. Yes, I'm wearing my new union suit with the hinge on the back. With my hinge quite a figure I'm a-cutting. Down the strands you can all see me strutting. Fits me close and keeps me comfy, and there is no slack. The cloth pure wool and the buttons are brown. The seams sure hold it together. The arms roll up and the legs roll down in case there's a change in the weather. To Lend-Lease I give all the credit. They sent me a suit and I shall never, never forget it. In such a suit there is nothing that any bloke can ever lack. It's me, itchy little suit with the hinge on the back. Well, there you are, Bean. As soon as your father finds out I have a union suit, the wedding day is set. In the big finale, we are on the Queen Elizabeth about to sail for Canada. As the boat pulls out, we hear the merry villagers singing.
Big!
A dinghy!
You can get there by omnibus or tram.
Where we live off picket, we just play cricket. Where the AEF left all its stem.
That's the Peter's land, Ale and Hardy. The land of the new Labour Party. And now we say,
thank you very much. You hear a lot about Miss America. We bring you now a tribute to Mrs. America.
The world takes its hat off to Mrs. America for a great many things. Her beauty, her wit, the way she cares for her children and manages her home. One characteristic that brings her fame is that she's so practical. That comes out in her buying, of course. And when it comes to T-balls, she buys more Tenderleaf brand T-balls than any other kind. Practical is the word for these finer T-balls. They are better in every way. The tea inside is famous for flavor Tenderleaf brand tea. And the filter paper that makes the packets is tasteless and insoluble. This is the modern, gracious, convenient way to serve tea with meals and between. Put in a supply and when you want a cup of quick comfort in a hurry.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.